Easter is all about the ultimate miracle. It really is. It's about life over death. It's about life over death. And I want to tell you something today. I'm going to do a really different message than what you might hear normally on Easter. I want to talk to you about death because here's my conclusion. If you're not ready to die, you're not ready to live. If you personally are not ready to die, you're not ready to live. I want to take you to an interesting place. When people would come visit us, we lived about 6 years there in Arizona. They would come and they'd want to see the desert and they'd want to see the different things in the area. And one of the places we inevitably would take people to was a town that its motto was, "A town too tough to die." It was Tombstone. And you know the story of the Epp brothers there and the OK Corral. Well, they preserved that little town down there, and we would take people down there. Well, one of the very interesting things about that little town is there's a cemetery, and it's a real cemetery. And these are real graves, and they wrote this silly stuff on them way back then. I personally believe that there was such an abnormal amount of deaths, people before their time of what we think of in a life of dying, that it was kind of their humorous way of coping with all the deaths they had around them. But I wanted to share with you some of those that are there in Boot Hill Cemetery, and this is legit. They really are there, and these are real graves. You wonder by reading these if there's some of them that maybe, just maybe, they've been added to the cemetery, you know, just for some entertainment purposes. But these are gravestones that are there. And here's one of the first ones I wanted to share with you this morning. "Here lies Lester Moore, 4 slugs from a .44, no less, no more. Here lies George Johnson, hanged by mistake. He got it right, we was wrong. We strung him up, now he's gone. Here's another one. Here lies Butch. We planned him raw, he was quick on the trigger, and you know the rest of it. He's slow on the draw. Here's another one. Here lies Johnny Yeast, pardon him for not rising." You'll get that one at lunch. Here's one from Nova Scotia. There's some of these that are hilarious all over the country. But there's one there that by the name of Ezekiel Akel. And it was a grave. Somebody lived to be 102 back in the late 1800s. It says, "It is true, the good do die young." And here's one that I think she left a little message on her husband's gravestone. This young widow in a Vermont cemetery wrote, "Sacred to the memory of my husband, John Barnes, who died January 3, 1803. His comely young widow, age 23, has many good qualifications of a good wife and yearns to be comforted." Here's one from Enos Falls, Vermont. It reads, "Here lies the body of Anna, done to death by a banana. It wasn't the fruit that laid her low, but it was the skin of the thing that made her go." And this is one of my favorites right here. It's in Nantucket, Massachusetts, 1880. It's a stone that says, "Under the sod and under the trees lies the body of Jonathan Pease. He's not here, there's only the pod. Pease shelled out and went to God." Isn't that great? And here's one in Thurmont, Maryland. It reads, "Here lies an atheist, all dressed up and no place to go." If only that was true. If only that was true. Well, I just wanted to have a little fun with you. I wanted to kind of lighten up since I'm hitting the subject of death. But I said, if you're not ready to die, you sure aren't ready to live. That is the core of this message I'm sharing with you. Easter is not just about the resurrection of Christ. It's about dealing with your ultimate foe of death. Death will swallow you up, and hell will be the reward if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to take you to a really odd place to do an Easter message. It's to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's chapter 9. I want you to join me there in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'm going to be reading that in a few minutes. George Bernard Shaw wrote this. He says, "The statistics on death are quite impressive. 1 out of 1 people die. One out of one people die. And I love what the poet John Betjeman wrote. He says, "Oh, why do people waste their breath inventing dainty names for death?" Think about it. Even in the Christian community, we do this. We often talk about somebody passing on, or they passed over, or they've passed from this life. I mean, we use expressions like that. I think we kind of do that as well sometimes in our discussions. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and verse 28 says this. Just as man is destined to die once, so everybody in here is included in that, right? And after that, to face the judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Father, it's in this service we pray for you to help us with this very subject matter. Every person in this room will die. Father, help us to know that until we're ready to face death, we're not ready to even live. I pray that this resurrection truth would really come home today, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to just think about disease, famine, heart attacks, cancer, AIDS, abortion, car accidents, workplace accidents, murder, suicide, and war. And the list could just go on and on and on of all the things that take people from this life. In fact, this morning I got up like you, turned the news on. I usually do that when I'm getting ready on Sunday morning, most mornings, and lo and behold, there's been 207 people slaughtered in Sri Lanka. Three churches, and I think it was three hotels, if I remember the information correctly. But that's how many already they know are confirmed dead. Three churches on Easter Sunday. See, they're part of the world they got to worship before we did. And there they are in worship. And they're gunned down. No doubt most of those people weren't thinking today was their day. But they were taken out. Wicked, evil folks going into churches and shooting them down. And there were some explosions that were involved too. I haven't heard all the reports. You probably know more now than I did this morning early. Here's what I want to share with you. You're going to have to deal with the Grim Reaper. I called this message, "How are you going to deal with GR?" You see, I was even avoiding the language myself. How are you going to deal with GR? Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate it every week, but Easter is all about you beating GR. It's the only way you can beat GR. The Grim Reaper is going to be a part of every single person's life in this room. Can't get around it. Easter is all about beating our sin, beating death, because that is our ultimate foe. And I want to tell you something. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, just like the tribulational saints, where we read that in Revelation 12, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You follow me? So here's what's really important for you to hear this today. I want to take you to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and you've got to understand this about Ecclesiastes to understand what's there. People will say, "Oh, I don't like reading Ecclesiastes. It's so stinking negative." Well, you think of that because here's what's wrong. Solomon in his great wisdom said, "I am going to observe everything that's in life, but I'm going to do it with a boundary under heaven." Under the sun is the expression you will see over and over. In other words, I'm going to examine life without God or heaven in the equation. Now, he violates his own rule twice. We're going to read both of them today, where he talks about God and he talks about what is the conclusion of the matter about life. But if you understand the book of Ecclesiastes from this standpoint, what does life have to offer you without heaven in the equation? If God's not in the picture, what is there in life? I'm going to show you this morning what is in the picture, what is there for you in this life, if that's all you have. I want you to look with me today in the Scriptures, and we're going to go up to chapter 9, and I want to pick it up in verse 1. So I want you to join me there in chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, and I want you to hear what he says here. Very, very important. He sets the stage. He says, so I reflected. And when he's reflecting, remember, he's the wisest man that walked on the planet until Jesus showed up, right? Jesus was the God-man, and I don't think you can top that with your own wisdom. Amen? He asked for wisdom instead of riches. God gave him both, right? Solomon, King Solomon, had great wealth. But the thing that's to remember about him is God gave him this incredible wisdom where he could see things as they really were and bring us books like we have in the book of Proverbs, all the Proverbs and all those statements, observations he made, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon as well. But listen to this. He says, so I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do in God's are in God's hands. But no man knows whether love or hate awaits him. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good man, so it is with the sinner. As it is with those who take oaths, so it is with those that are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens. And notice the expression again, without God in the equation, what does he say? Under the sun. Life without heaven in the equation. Listen to this. He goes on to say, this is an evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The heart of men, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterwards they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For those living know they will live. But the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Everything else under the sun, the race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor is food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Seems like that, doesn't it? Seems like. And the Bible tells us, Proverbs, it was Solomon who said it. He said, God lifts, raises one up, and he demotes another. We are in the hands of a sovereign God. Do you realize that? That is the part of grace and mercy we don't fully understand. We just know that God is large and he's in charge, isn't he? Nobody has the last word. He does. Even the greatest and most determined, that's true. Listen, no amount of time can prevent death. You know, we're living to be older and older and older. You know, there's over 100,000 people just in the United States now that are over destroying the lives of others that were just going to church on Easter Sunday. Something, huh? Something horrible. Listen, if you aim at nothing in this life, you're going to hit it every time. Every time. If you're just living life and that's all life is to you, you're going to come up with a big zero. You've got to target eternity if you want to have a relationship with God and live beyond these years. And I want you to see this last principle, and that is simply this. Judgment is unavoidable. I told you Solomon cheats, right? He says he's going to examine life where? With this, right? He's going to look at life, and he's not going to look at heaven. He's not going to look at God. And he's going to tell you what's good in life to do. And he says, oh, if that's all you're going to do in life, if that's it for you, then you better get married, enjoy your wife, your husband, family life, and you better enjoy your work. Because that's it. Everything else is a big zero. There's not much else life. Just enjoy life. He tells you to eat and drink. I think we're into that, aren't we? I think you can tell by looking at me that I like to eat, and I wash it down with something every now and then, right? So I think we're into that. I think we kind of have taken his advice about that, right? Where are we all going after church today on Easter Sunday? We're going to your house, right? Aren't you the one holding the big party and the feast? And turkey, maybe Maybe some ham. You know, we're liberated, free. We can eat that ham now. Amen. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, or chapter 3, verse 16. He violates what he said he was going to do. Here's what he did. Check this out. He says, and I saw something else. And listen to what he says he saw. Under the sun. Again, this limited perspective. But watch what he's getting ready to do. He's going to change tunes. In the place of judgment, there was wickedness. Wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. You think that's the way it looks like in Sri Lanka right now? Wickedness was there. I thought in my heart, God, listen to him. He switches gears. He cheats. He goes, up, God. He takes the blinders off about this life and he says, God, but God, and what does it say? Will bring judgment both to the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity and a time for every deed. God will judge us. Guaranteed. The Bible says so. He cheated just now in Ecclesiastes. He quit looking at life under the sun. God's going to bring justice to this. Listen to this. Justice is going to happen. And we should realize, as he says, here's the conclusion of the matter in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and here's what he says. In verse 13, he says these words. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. And listen to what he says in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or bad. Solomon blows the top off of looking at life without God in the equation. He said, you know what? It can't be done. You can't look at life without God. And God, who gave you life, is going to judge your life, and nobody's exempt. There's going to be two judgments. There's a great white throne judgment. That's where all people that don't know Jesus Christ will go, and they'll be cast into hell because they'll have all their excuses. They'll have all the things that they did, but it won't matter. It just burns up, and they're gone. They're gone to hell. There's a second judgment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema in the Greek text, the Bema seat. And those people will be judged after they came to Christ based on what they did for the Lord. And the passage says that everything that is of this world, it will burn up in that judgment. But those things that were done for Christ will last, and the Lord will reward you and give you a crown of righteousness. He talks about the jewels and so forth. We know that the Bible tells us very plainly that we're going to be judged. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear that when this life is over. I want to get that shepherd's crown. And then I just want to take it and lay it at the feet of Jesus. You're the great shepherd. I just was one of your boys down on planet Earth. I want you to see something with me, because here's what you came for. The Bible tells us this about death. You say, well, this has been a very unusual Easter service. I know. God put it in my heart. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 says this. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death. Did you hear that? He destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What is the gospel? God sent forth his Son, born of the Virgin Mary, leaped into her womb by the seed of God, came into this world without knowing an earthly father. That really did happen. It is part of the real story. He lived a sinless life, stainless, different from all the rest of us, tempted in every way we were, yet without sin is the conclusion. And he died for us, not for himself. He died for us and bled and suffered so that his blood could cover all of our sin. And the third day, he came back to life. He got up, church. He really did. Jesus Christ got up. I kid you not. It's the biggest reality of all of life. It's been examined and re-examined and more examined and examined and examined. And they keep coming to the conclusion, it's real. And I know it's real because he changed my life. And I have watched him change so many lives. And today he wants to change your life. Listen to this. How can you defeat the grim reaper? You got to turn from your sin. If you're going that direction, you turn, you go a new direction. Look at this. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. You've got to come clean, you got to admit it, and then go with God. The Bible says we've all turned aside and together become corrupt. There's no one who does good, not even one. Listen to this. We turn and we put our trust in Christ. So as you're turning away from your sin and you say, God, I've been going my own way. I'm going to turn and I'm going to follow Jesus Christ now. I'll go your way. John 3:16 says it so beautifully. For God so loved you, the world. So God so loved you, his creation. God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Listen to this. You've got to take a stand for Jesus openly. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. You know, you've got to come to this place. You've got to come to this place. You've got to believe on Jesus. Here's what he says, that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is what? That he's Lord. And believe in your heart that God did what? Raised him from the dead. What does it conclude? You will be saved. You will be saved. Now here's a wonderful thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Guess what we're doing right here, right now, on this Easter Sunday? We are giving you an opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ, his resurrection, his covering your blood on that cross and dying for you, coming back to life, conquering sin, conquering death for you. That's what he did, and you need to make him the Lord and Savior of your life. You really do. Remember what I said, you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. You are absolutely, unequivocally not ready to live until you're ready to die. This Easter Sunday, I wanted to focus on death to show you the power of the cross and the power of his resurrection over your death. Have you staked your claim with him? Here's how I did it. I was 15 years old. August 17th, 1975. It was a while back. But I staked my claim that day in the truth of the gospel. And here's what I prayed. I prayed, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I turn away from my sin and I turn to your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for me and rose again the third day. I put my hope and my trust in him. God, thank you for loving me, and I want to tell you I love you. And that day, God brought me from a place of being a sinner to a forgiven sinner. He brought me from hell to heaven. He sent me on that pathway. He gave me such an incredible life. I didn't know he'd call me into the ministry and I'd get to do this all the time. I didn't know that would happen. It's incredible. I have already, if today is my last day, I have had one incredible life. God's been so good to me. God wants to extend his grace to you right now. And here's how you do that. Bow your head. Close your eyes. And I want you to repeat. If you don't know that you've settled this in your heart already, I want to ask you to repeat after me the very prayer I prayed. Now, here's the thing. It's my prayer, but now it's going to become your prayer. So make it personal. And you pray this just in your heart, and you mean these words in your heart. But just whisper this where you are. If you want to invite Christ into your heart, or you're simply not sure that you're his child, we're inviting you to join and do that today. So pray after me this way. Just repeat it after me. Say it, whisper it right there where you are. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I turn away from my sin. I now turn to your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died for my sin on that cross. I believe he rose again the third day. I put all my hope in that. God, thank you for loving me. And I want to tell you, I love you. And now would you just whisper to him in Jesus' name. Amen.